The Symphony No. 8 by Franz Schubert. The first two movements of it, anyway. That's all that he wrote, as they say. So we call it the unfinished. Carl Boehm led the Berlin Philharmonic. Thanks for your company. I'm Gillian Martin.
Thank you for listening to WHFR Dearborn, your classical radio connection. We are very excited to present on 89.3 FM your chance to go back in time and listen to some great classic radio of yesteryear. We call it Old Time Radio Mysteries, and it airs every Monday evening from 11 p.m. until the midnight hour. You'll hear shows like The Mysterious Traveler, The Whistler, The Weird Circle, Inner Sanctum, and so much more. It's when drama was king. On the radio, and we've got it every Monday evening from 11 p.m. until midnight. Check it out, if you dare. And this just in, the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra 2007-2008 season has been announced, and you're going to want to be there. First performance, Saturday, September 29th. Tickets, call 313-565-2420.
This is WHFR, Dearborn.
At 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. We're making waves. I'm Susan Morell, and this is Pet Lovers Lane. Pet Lovers Lane is a news, information, and talk show about pets, for pet lovers, and for pets. And today, our very special guest right here in the studio is Dave Carroll. He is the president of Rainbow Feathers Bird Rescue. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And one of the things that I was discussing with Dave prior to the show was that Pet Lovers Lane, we've done many, many shows here, but we've never dedicated an entire show to birds. And so that's why Dave is here. And Dave has a great expertise as a bird lover, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his organization, the mission, and the purpose.
Well, the mission of our organization, Rainbow Feathers Bird Club and Rescue, is to educate people about caged birds, to help people out when they need it, to assist in the rescue of caged birds, and just basically give people an outlet if they want to come to the club and they can talk about their birds. It gives bird lovers a chance to get together, bird brains we call ourselves, but we have a good time. The club is just a wonderful group of people, and the people who work with the rescue are just very dedicated, and it's just a wonderful experience.
So how long has the club been in existence?
We started the club in 1997, and the rescue's been in existence about 8 years. the rescue end of it.
Okay, so I think it's a great mission. It's a great purpose, because from what I am discovering about birds, and this is a great learning and discovery process for me as well, is that birds are different, a little bit different type of a pet from other domestic pets.
Yeah, that goes without saying. They are they're totally different.
And would you say most birds are domesticated pets?
To a point. A lot of your larger parrots aren't that far away from their wild cousins, so they still have some of the wild tendencies that kind of grate on some people, but I'm used to it.
So tell me, Dave, how did you become a pet lover, and more specifically, a bird lover?
Well, when I was about 13 years old, they opened a small pet shop down the street from my house, and I went up there and I would help out at the pet shop, and they had a scarlet macaw, a blue front Amazon, and an umbrella cockatoo. And I was always fascinated with parrots. And I would go up there and help out and carry the macaw around and everything. And that was actually where I got my first parrot, which was a male white cockatiel. And that just kind of started me off on this craziness that that's been happening lately.
Okay, so you started off as a kid working in a pet shop, and was that your first pet, a bird?
That was my mama had parakeets before, but the first bird that I could actually call mine was this white cockatiel.
Okay, and so is that a talking bird?
The males are known as the talkers, the females don't. But cockatiels, you know what they say, but a lot of people go, "What was that?" They're better whistlers than they are talkers. We've got a person in our club that has a bird, and he can whistle. This cockatiel could whistle Camptown races all the way through.
Okay, so you like the interaction with the bird and a little bit of the talking and the whistling, and that was your first pet?
Yeah, he was my first pet. He didn't talk much. He whistled more than he talked, but I'd always been fascinated with parrots. I don't know why I was so fascinated with, I don't know if it was the colors. I just had this thing where, yeah, I would really someday like to have a large parrot. And now I'm thinking you have to be careful what you wish for sometimes.
Because you might get it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So
oh,
now
yeah.
You do have it, and you have the Rainbow Feathers Bird Rescue Club, and you're totally involved, and you even have more pets at home in addition to birds.
I have a cat and dogs and fish and what they call a mini lop-eared Holland Lop bunny. So I'm, I guess, what you call an animal lover.
And you have how many birds?
We have about 19 birds that we can take to education programs. And then we have a lot of other birds that are ex-breeders, because we were involved in the breeding end of it. We used to breed lovebirds, parakeets, cockatiels, and we used to show lovebirds.
And how many birds are yours?
It's tough to count? It's tough to count. because we have so many birds that are transient as far as the rescue that, you know, you don't know if they're going to stay or if they're going to go. Right now we have a 40-year-old blue front Amazon that is a special needs. She's has severe nerve damage to one foot. And she gets around pretty good, but she is in the rescue. But anybody who takes her has to really know what they're doing, because she gets a little cranky.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, she gets a little cranky, but I think I would too if I was 40 years old and a bird.
And having a health problem.
Yeah, having a health problem.
Yeah,
a
serious health problem. So, Dave, tell us, what is your contact information if someone is interested in adopting one of your birds? How would they go about contacting you?
They can call me or my wife, Tammy, at 734-422-5981. And what we do is we ask your name and address, and we send you an adoption form. And what we ask is that you put down what type of bird you're interested in, because we'll get some that come in with, "I'll take any bird," and we tell them, well, there's no such thing as any bird. We can tell they haven't done their homework, so it's like you have to really research what you're getting yourself into.
Exactly, and that's what we're trying to do here on Pet Lovers Lane, because we all have a lot to learn about the bird world and having a bird as a pet. So perhaps, Dave, one of the things we should start with before we get into all the different things that you offer in your group is maybe tell us a little bit more about having a bird as a pet. Why should, what are the right reasons for someone to choose a bird as a pet?
Number one, you should get a bird just because you want that particular species, not because you want a bird that talks. Talking is subjective to the bird, and there are some birds that have a reputation as being great talkers, but if they don't want to talk, they're not going to. And then there are some birds that, once they pick up one word, they're off and running, and they'll pick up anything.
Anything so, that you happen to say.
Anything you happen to say. So you learn that you got to watch your language a lot. I have a friend who I work with who has an African gray, and this bird will pick up words at the drop of a hat.
Now, an African gray is what, a parrot?
It's a parrot. There are two types of African grays, what they call the Congo gray and the Timmy gray. The Congo is the one you see. It's basically a gray bird, but it's got a scarlet-red tail. In fact, there's a Dr. Irene Pepperberg who is working with African grays, and they're finding out that these birds are a lot more intelligent than they ever imagined. So he floored them by counting past, they didn't think he could count past five, well, he can count up to six. He can recognize colors. They have one bird that they're teaching to surf the internet.
Wow.
And they're currently trying to teach some of these grays to, see if it's possible to teach them to read.
Well, this is incredible. The world of birds is a different world. In my research, I was trying to find out more about birds because I've often thought of having a bird as a pet myself. But it's more than just going to a pet shop and purchasing a bird or getting a rescue bird. When you're talking about the selection process, you have to decide what type of a bird do you want, because the different breeds have quite different personality characteristics.
Oh, that is so true. And you have to look at another one of the factors is what space are you dealing with? Because the larger the bird, the larger the cage. Some macaw cages can take up almost an entire living room.
Well, I can imagine. One of the birds that I was always interested in was getting a dove, because to me, a dove and hopefully a white dove is what I always had in mind. It's sort of a romantic notion, and the dove is a symbol of peace. And in addition to that, the doves have sort of a nice, soft cooing, and they don't make a lot of noise. They're more of a quiet bird, I thought. Is that true?
Yeah, doves are, they're a lot quieter than a lot of your parrots.
And so I thought they would make a nicer pet for me because I would like a little bit of a quieter pet.
Yeah, and there's several types of doves. You've got your diamond doves, which are very tiny. You've got your ringneck doves, and then you have the white doves, or some people refer to them as the magician's doves. It all depends on what you want in a bird. I mean, some people want to be able to handle the bird and have the bird interact with them, so they'll lean more toward the parrot. And there are some people who want a bird for its song, so they'll go for the canary. And then when they find out how many different types of canaries they are, they get confused all over again. And there's some people who just want birds to look at, so they'll go more for the finches. And a lot of people, when they find out how many different types of parrots and how many different types of doves and finches and canaries there are, they're kind of overwhelmed, and that's when we say, sit down and start doing your homework.
Right, and call the Rainbow Feathers Bird Rescue. Give them a call at 734-422-5981. You are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. We're Making Waves, and I am Susan Morell. And I'm sitting here in the studio today with Dave Carroll, who is the president of Rainbow Feathers Bird Rescue. And I understand you're fairly close to the campus here of Henry Ford Community College, which is where we are here in the studios at WHFR. Your main office is where, in Garden City?
Well, we really don't have what you would consider a main office, because a lot of people think we have a building. The rescue is actually a network of people that foster out of their homes. So we don't have a building per se, but we've got a pretty good network of people who do foster these birds. They take them to the vet, get them the vet care that they need, and then they will put them up for adoption.
Okay, but you are located, your residence and your home phone is fairly close to
Garden City,
to Henry Ford Community College.
Yes.
Okay, so my understanding of basic bird care, that it's a little more complicated than a person would think.
We get a lot of people who think that you have to get the bird, the cage, the food and the water, and then that's it.
So that's not it?
No, there is, especially when you get into the parrots, they're probably more work than a cat or a dog. And a lot of people are surprised to hear this, but they need interaction. A lot of your birds are flock animals. What they do is you become their substitute flock. So they look to you as kind of like the flock leader. And they need the interaction. They need you to play with them. They need to do something besides being stuck in a cage, because that's where a lot of the problems start. And that's where a lot of people get themselves into trouble, because they do an impulse buy, or they get in over their heads, and then they end up with a bird that they can't control.
Well, that sounds strange, a bird that you can't control, because, you know, I think that happens with even cats and dogs, because we've had people from the Michigan Humane Society here on Pet Lovers Lane, and one of the most important topics that we've discussed here on the show was that a lot of pets are given up, dogs and cats, because of behavior issues.
Yeah.
People have trouble interacting with their pets, and behavior issues arise, and I've experienced it myself with cats and dogs, and they require training. In addition to training, right, besides feeding them, besides feeding them and sort of cleaning up after them, you have to have time in your life to pay attention to that pet.
And there's different types of birds require different types of attention, which a lot of people, well, what do you mean? Well, if you get your bird is, for instance, like cockatoos. Cockatoos, a lot of people refer to as love sponges, because you can give them attention 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they would just eat it up. And unfortunately, a lot of the cockatoos that we see through the rescue are a type they call an umbrella, because they're the ones that at the fairs or at the pet shops, they're the ones, they're acting like total goofballs, and people find it cute. So they buy this bird, and for the first week, they're pretty quiet, and everything seems okay. But then when they start settling in, they start acting like a cockatoo, that's when the people start, they call us and say, help, what did I get myself into?
Well, what does the bird do?
Well, cockatoos can be very loud. Cockatoos, we have a greater sulfur crested, and she's like a beaver with feathers. One of the things that they need is they need toys with wood, because they like to chew the wood. I know of people who have left cockatoos alone for half an hour in a play stand to find the birds gotten off the play stand and decided that grandma's antique rocker looks like a good toy, and they proceeded to chew one of the arms off.
Oh gosh, you would never dream that a bird would do such a thing, right?
Well, a lot of people, they don't realize that cockatoos are very, very needy birds. They're beautiful birds to look at, but they require a lot of attention. Now, on the other end of the scale, you have your Amazon's parrots, which are a little bit more independent. So they're not as needy and not as clingy as the cockatoos. They still need the attention and the interaction, and they need toys. And I get people just look at me and they say, toys? I said, yeah. Anything wood that they can chew, vegetable tanned leather.
So they're like a dog. I mean, dogs love to chew.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. They love to chew.
And even like my cats, they love to scratch. They want to have a scratch post.
They love to destroy. destroying things is one of their main goals in life.
Attack and destroy. So give us some of the bird basics of care in terms of time, cost, diet, training, those kinds of things.
Well, we came up with something that was really kind of neat. For the Pet Expo, we did a piece of paper that we put on our board with a bunch of other things, but it gives the cost of what people think when they get they'll often get a free bird, or they think it's free, and they end up spending, you can spend anywhere, depending on the size of the bird, but if it's a larger bird, you can spend anywhere from $500 up to thousands of dollars on a cage. You can spend $200 or $300 just on vet costs and vet visits. Then you've got your food, you've got your treat foods on top of the other foods that you give, and then you've got your toys. So, and the toys is a never-ending thing, because as they destroy the toys, they have to be replaced, or you have to rotate toys out so they don't get bored. So you're constantly spending money on toys or things to make toys. It can come up that your free bird has now cost you about $1,000.
And that would be within your initial cost within what time frame?
That would be the initial cost probably shortly after you get the bird.
Within the first 30 days?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
$1,000.
Yeah, because you have to, you've got to consider the vet costs, the cost of the cage that you have to buy, the carrier to take the bird where you have to go, and the bigger the bird, the bigger the carrier, and then the food, the initial startup on the food, which we recommend a pelleted diet because it's more complete, and then you have the treat foods that you have to buy. It gets very expensive.
It sounds like it's a lot more expensive than having either a cat or a dog.
The initial costs can be expensive, but what a lot of people don't realize, too, is your larger parrots are extremely long-lived. They do not realize that when you buy the bird we're talking about before, an African Grey, you're talking at least a 60-year commitment.
Oh, my gosh. 60 years?
60 years. And we did a seminar to benefit Dr. Irene Pepperberg, and we had a vet from Chicago that was one of our guest speakers. And at the time, he was treating a yellowknape Amazon that was 106. And it's a yellowknape.
Oh.
A yellowknape holds the record at 136 years old. So if somebody buys, say, an Amazon, then they're going to be willing it to someone because it will outlive them.
Well, I'm sure it sounds that way, because most people, do they acquire a pet when they're young or older, adults, or what age?
A lot acquire when they're young adults. So if you say you're in your 30s and you get a macaw, cockatoo, or an Amazon, you and I are looking at a bird that's going to live a minimum of 50, 60 years. So that means there's a good possibility that you'll be gone and the bird will still be here.
And every time you move, if you move or change location from one state to another, you have to make accommodations to take that bird with you. And if you live in an apartment, you might be in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you are with most pets.
Now, there are certain birds that we call apartment birds, because they are quiet.
And what would that be?
There's a species of parrot that's known as the pionis. I happen to have a blue-headed pionis. They're very quiet. They're beautiful birds. They're not known to be great talkers. They can learn a few words, but they do one thing that, to the person who's not educated, it really bothers them. When they get stressed or excited, they wheeze like almost an asthmatic.
Oh, gee.
And people who don't know, is there something wrong with that bird? No, this is what the bird does. This is something that don't get excited, the bird's fine.
It's called a trait.
Yeah, it's something that they do.
Yes, it's just part of their anatomy or psychology or just their breed. This is just a habit. This is what they do. We are talking today with Dave Carroll, who is the president of Rainbow Feathers Bird Rescue, and you are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morell, and I thank you so much for joining us here today. And Dave is telling us all about the world of birds and having a bird as a pet. And just tell me this, Dave, about having a bird as a pet. Do they respond to training? Do birds respond to training, any type of training? And what about having a multiple pet household?
Birds do respond to training. And a lot of times when people train a bird, it's just something that the bird does, and you build up on what the bird does. We've got I have a blue and gold macaw that she started raising her foot, so I've taught her to give me what I call a high four, because they only have four toes, two forward, two back. So I can tell her to give me a high four, and she raises her foot and slaps upon my hand with it. But it's just something that she started doing, and you look for that, and you build up on these natural things they start doing. And everybody thinks it's a trick, and it's really just something she started doing, and you just capitalize on that. We've got another bird known as a Myers parrot. They're an African parrot, and she'll lay back in my hand and throw her head back. And at the education programs, I keep saying that, you know, Justin Timberlake called and I'll throw her back. And I said, well, look, she's just passed out. And the kids get a big kick out of that. But it's just something that she started doing.
Okay, so you kind of flow and adapt into the behavior of the animal that you have at home. And I think people probably naturally do that with their own cats and their dogs because yeah. every animal has their own personality. And I would imagine birds have their own personality too. And I just hear people talking about birds, people who have birds as pets, and they talk about how much they love their pet. And these are people who spend a lot of time with that pet bird at home. But tell me this, Dave, how much time do you think a person would have to devote every day just to taking care of a bird, whether it be, what would be the minimum amount of time to feed and to clean up after the bird, to provide any additional care that might be necessary? And I know you talk about spending a lot of time with a lot of the birds. Some birds are more needy than others.
Yeah, it varies from bird to bird, but the one thing that we tell people is never give a bird more attention than you're going to give it for the rest of its life. Never bring a bird home and shower it with attention every waking minute, and then when you go back to work or your life changes and now the bird's not getting this, then you end up with behavior problems. Set up a routine, stick to the routine. Usually when we feed and water birds, it's about an hour to feed and then clean the dishes out, put fresh water in. And we have our time in the evening with them, which I refer to it as riot time, when you take the birds out and you play with them and they want to be with you and they know that they come out at a certain time and that's their time and they're used to that. So we've got a lot of our birds pretty regimented.
Okay, so they can adapt to your schedule.
Yeah.
And my cats, I have three kitty cats at home and they're very, they've adapted to my schedule. You know, they're pretty much regimented. They wake me up in the morning. They're just like little alarm clocks. And if I'm not getting up when they're ready, they will wake me up. So they've adapted to my schedule, and then they kind of have their own little schedule where they like to sleep. But I sometimes interrupt them, you know, because I may not want to get up that early the next day. So if I let them sleep all night long, then they're going to wake up very, very early and perhaps wake me up too early. So I try to work it out with them, you know. But now, what about having a multiple pet household?
It does work if you introduce the right way and you set boundaries. Our dogs know that, you know, the birds are off limits. They're not toys. The puppy is learning that. The puppy doesn't know that quite yet, but as she gets older, she'll learn. And our other dogs, the birds don't faze them. In fact, they kind of like the birds because they get little extra treats every now and then when they throw the pellets on the floor.
Okay. And so just folks, remember, just as if you have a cat, you know, you have to clean up after the cat and clean the kitty litter box. And when you have a bird, you have to go in and clean up after the bird.
Yeah.
Yes,
the dust buster and the shot vac become your best friends. We have killed probably two shot vacs.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty exciting.
It's one of the things that's a joke among all the bird owners that, you know, the vacuum becomes your best friend after a while, and because it's a constant thing. And don't even try to keep up on the dust, because and especially if you have cockatoos, cockatiels, or African greys, because they're known as dust birds, that you can dust, and 15 minutes later it's like, well, I didn't do anything. So it's like the philosophy in our club is, the house isn't a house until you can write "I love you" in the dust. So
okay, well, I no comment on that. But you know, I'm not against dust. I would like to clean my house more often than I do. But I think when you have pets, you realize that you are going to have dust, and just dust is a part of daily life, I think. And I'm not known for for over-cleaning either, so so I could live with that. Dave, let's talk a little bit more about your group. You're listening to Pet Lovers Lane right here on WHFR Dearborn. You're a non-profit club, and what type of services do you provide for your members or for the public?
Well, one of the things we do for the members is we tell them to feel free to bring the birds up for wing clipping, toenail clipping. In fact, we invite anyone, even if you're not a member, if you're thinking about getting a bird, we ask that you please come to one of our meetings, and we will help you in any way, shape, or form that we can, because we want people to make informed decisions. We want things to go right instead of wrong, like they do a lot of the times. So even if you don't belong to the club but you're thinking about getting a bird, you're welcome to come, ask us questions. We usually have quite a few birds at the meeting, and you can talk to people and you can get a feel for what you might be interested in, what size you might be, because there are some people who are intimidated by the large birds because of the large size beak, and some people are fascinated. So we invite anyone to come to the meeting and just ask questions, because if you make an informed decision, then it's going to be a happy ending for both you and the bird.
Well, how exactly are your meetings conducted? Do you have a speaker, someone who speaks on a normal topic, or is it more informal?
The meetings are more informal. We usually meet the fourth Sunday of every month at the First United Methodist Church of Garden City, and sometimes we have a program. The last meeting we had what we called a Make It and Take It program, where we made bird toys and play stands, and the people were able to make things and then take it home. But usually it's a lot more bird talk, and we get in some pretty interesting discussions, and people can give tips about certain types of birds. Well, why is my bird doing this? And somebody who's had that type of bird for a while will help them out, give them the answer. I mean, we've had people that it's been just a blessing for us with some of our birds. It's like, are they supposed to be doing that? Well, yeah, that's something they do. So we get our questions answered, and they might get a question answered from someone else. So it's pretty informal.
Okay, Dave, and you said the meeting. Give me the when the meeting is and what time, and if you could give the location and more contact information about the meeting.
Well, the meetings are held usually at 2 o'clock on the fourth Sunday of every month, barring holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving. We meet at the First United Methodist Church of Garden City, which is on Merriman Road between Ford and Warren Roads.
And the meeting is what, about an hour, 2 hours?
The meeting is about an hour, the business part, but then people hang around and we talk about, with the bird talk and everything, and people talk, and we have a good time. Sometimes we do some things just for fun. We did a thing that one of our members, Bill and Dottie Kennedy, introduced us to called Bag It Bingo, which was, I never laughed so hard in my entire life doing that. It was just so much fun. And we also we'll have field trips.
Okay.
We're planning a field trip, actually, to the Toledo Zoo.
Okay.
We've gone up to Calasantes in Canada, which they have a large animal area, and we just like to make the club fun for people and educational, and we want people to feel comfortable and friendly.
So the meetings are about a couple of hours.
About a couple of hours, but sometimes if people are really talking and everything, we've been gone as long as 3 or 4 hours.
Okay. And so is there a membership fee?
Yes, there's. I believe $10 for a single, $15 for a double, and then it's $25 for a family.
And that's for a year.
That's yearly dues, yes.
Yearly dues. Okay, and Dave, let's tell the people listening to Pet Lovers Lane here, what is your website? Because I went onto your website and I found some fabulous information about the Rainbow Feathers Bird Rescue Club and all about birds.
You can type in Rainbow Feathers Bird Club, and we are usually like the first 5 listings that come up, or you can type in rfbirdclub.com and access us that way.
Okay, and then in addition to your monthly meeting, You also have a monthly newsletter.
Yes, we do.
And tell us a little bit about that.
It's just an information newsletter. It usually tells upcoming events, educational programs. People write articles about birds they've rescued or something their bird has done or something interesting that they've found out. They'll pass that along through the newsletter.
Okay, so there's quite a bit of bird talk.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's great because there's just so much information to discover about having different types of birds. And that's why we're here today on Pet Lovers Lane. It's a discovery process about having a bird as a pet. So, Dave, tell us a little bit more about some of your workshops and some of your service projects.
Okay, one of our members happened to be a librarian with the Livonia Public Libraries, so they were doing their summer reading program, and she got us into the libraries. And we do an educational program where we take our birds and present them. We tell the kids how long they live, some of their quirks, if the bird was a rescue or not, give them basic educational background on the specific birds, where they come from, and there's a couple birds that the kids are allowed to hold after. Not all birds like to be held, and especially some of the rescue birds. And we found that the kids are just fascinated, and especially when they see some of the colors. They're just totally surprised. And some of our birds do us a favor by being very loud. And then they realize that, oh, maybe I don't think I want a bird as a pet. You know, they all think it's be cool to have a bird as a pet, but when they hear the bird scream and it's that loud, yeah, well, I don't think I want a bird now. We've had several parents say, thank you. They don't think they want one now.
Okay. Well, and then you have service projects, and you have, I know you talked a little bit about field trips, and you, in addition to that, that's at the library, that's kind of an education program, and then you have other educational programs too.
Yeah, we've done programs for churches, schools. In fact, my church did what they called Noah's Ark Week, and they had us come in and put on a program for this. We also sponsor a veterinary student at Michigan State College for Veterinary Medicine who's going into avian medicine. We have a scholarship that we give to that. We've done the Katrina Fund for not only for the animals through the Humane Society, but for the Red Cross.
So there were birds rescued from Katrina.
Yeah, there were a lot of pets that people didn't even realize that were rescued from Katrina. Reptiles, rodents, birds, dogs, cats.
I know there were a lot of dogs and cats because I had several people on the show who participated in the rescue. They actually went from Michigan down to Katrina. One of the gals was from the Michigan Humane Society, and then I had another rescue group. So I know it was a huge, huge effort. Certainly support anybody who helped in that effort. But I didn't realize that there were birds actually rescued from Katrina.
Yeah, in fact, on Animal Planet, when they did the program about the Katrina rescues, they briefly touched in one of the programs. They showed a whole section of, they had animals like guinea pigs and ferrets, and they had parakeets and cockatiels and some grays and a macaw that they had rescued from the houses because the people had to get out so fast.
Well, I know it was a terrible, terrible event, and we certainly hope nothing like that ever happens again. But I understand that you also have an annual bird fair.
Yes, we do. That's our yearly fundraiser to help support our club, which helps us with offset the vet costs for the rescue birds that we take in. And what a bird fair is, it's a place where a person can come, meet a breeder, they can buy anything they need for a bird, the cage, the food, the toys. There are birds for sale there. And I like it because you can actually talk to the breeder and get some information about the bird. And the breeders that we have are very reputable. And we have a vet check before the birds come in so that we know that the birds, they're not showing any outward signs of being sick. And we wouldn't hesitate to turn anybody away if they brought in birds that looked like there was something wrong, they wouldn't get in the door. But it's a great way, too, to look at a lot of different birds. If you've got your mindset on one type of bird, then you're more than likely you'll see it at a bird fair.
Now, the annual bird fair, When is it and where is it? What are the specifics?
This year it will be April 26th at Romulus High School.
Okay, so that'll be for 2008.
Yes.
All right. And so you can go to the annual bird fair. Is there a fee?
There's a $3 admission, and we have a raffle there. We have a bake sale. In fact, one of the people I work with, he said his wife said we had the perfect fair because we had birds, toys, and chocolate. So they said it was a perfect fair.
Well, that sounds good to me. I'm in favor of that because I love chocolate and I love pets, you know, any type of a pet. So what other events do you have coming up here in the near future?
Well, we are participating in the Michigan Family Pet Expo. Okay. And if anyone's never been out there, it is just a wonderful way to see more breeds of dogs, cats, than you could ever imagine. Last year was our first year there, and we had such a response that this year they're giving us a 20 by 30 foot island out in the center.
Okay, and so that's at the Novi Pet Expo?
Yeah, at the Rock Financial Center.
Okay, and that's going to be in November?
It's in November. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving. I'm not sure the dates. I think it's the 17th, 18th, and 19th, if I'm not wrong.
Okay,
of November.
I know it's a fabulous event because I went there numerous times and adopted one of my kitty cats from the Novi Pet Expo. But you're going to have a huge, huge exhibit.
Yeah, what we usually do for our exhibit, we've got posters that feature all the different types of cage birds from all around the world, from the smallest of finches up to the macaws. And we have these posters for people to look, and some of the posters contain mutations of the various birds, the different color morphs they come in. We have some of our birds on display there. We have different educational things, lists of safe plants, toxic plants, different things. We've got our book out there of birds that have been rescued and adopted.
Okay, and you're going to have several of the birds from your rescue group available for adoption?
Well, we usually don't take the birds out there because we want people to make an informed decision. So, and sometimes that spurs people to do something on impulse. And what we do is we have people fill out forms, and we keep these forms until the bird comes in. We had a young lady fill out a form that she wanted a blue and gold macaw, and we had that for almost a year. Well, her blue and gold macaw came in through the rescue, and we were able to deliver that to her on Saturday of the Labor Day weekend.
Okay, so I know what you mean about adopting a pet on impulse, and that's what I did when I went to the Novi Pet Expo and I saw the kitty cat there in the cage, and I said, oh, I've got to have that cat, and I adopted the cat, and without permission from my better half, you know, but so I snuck her into the house, and he accepted her. He was totally okay with it, but that might not happen every time. But anyway, so you're going to have a world of information about birds, having a bird as a pet, and we're just about to wrap up here with Pet Lovers Lane. But Dave, I wish you'd talk a little bit about the rescue process from the Rainbow Feathers Bird Club, and I know you go out on rescues, and how do you actually rescue a bird? I mean, does somebody call in and say they have a bird, or how does that work?
It's usually we have people call us, and they call us for various reasons, but they tell us that they have a bird to turn into the rescue. And we'll go out and we'll pick the bird up and anything they have with it, cage, food. And sometimes it's just because the person's life has changed and they can't take care of the bird, or the person who owned the bird has died and now the family doesn't know what to do with it, so they'll call us. Sometimes the person's bought a bird on impulse and they've gotten in over their head and they can't deal with the bird anymore, so they'll call us.
Oh, that can happen. And so you take in the bird, and you get the bird some vet treatment.
Yes.
And you take care of the bird.
Yeah, we have various homes that will foster. We've got people that will foster different size birds. I know my wife and I will foster the larger birds since we have some larger birds and we're not afraid of them. But we've got a very good network of people who foster and who work hard to get these birds into good homes.
And so how long after you rescue a bird do you put it up for adoption?
We usually try to put the bird up for adoption as quickly as possible so it doesn't spend too much time in one house, because it's stressful for a bird to be moved from one house to another. And sometimes, like with the macaw, we did a home-to-home. We picked it up from the home that wanted the bird taken by the rescue and took it right over to her. That way, there's less stress on the bird, and the bird can get settled a little bit quicker into its new home.
Right, because it is stressful for an animal, any animal, to be moved from one location to another. And even my kitty cats will tell you that. So they have trouble going even to the vet. You have an application process.
Yes.
For anyone who is interested in adopting a bird. And tell me a little bit about what are some of the requirements.
Well, what we require is that the people know what kind of bird they want. They don't have to be real specific as far as the type. Once they get into, say, macaws, we ask that they do their homework and think it through and know exactly what they want. We've had people that fill out the form that said they will take any bird, and we tell them there's no such thing as any bird.
Right.
Because every bird is different, and you shouldn't get a macaw when you can only handle a parakeet.
Right, and there are many, many different, very, very important behavior
yes.
characteristics
oh, yeah.
of the different birds, and that's what I'm discovering. And then what is the initial cost for them to adopt? Is it based on the type of bird?
Well, what we do is we ask for a donation. And what we are concerned about is that the bird finds a good home where they can afford the vet care, the proper cage, the proper diet for the birds. So if they can do that, sometimes we won't even ask for a donation. We're more concerned about finding the bird a good home rather than asking for a donation. But 99% of the time, we will get a donation for someone who adopts a bird.
Okay, so it's very, very important that people are honest and that they come forth and fill out the application appropriately.
Yes.
And they discuss it with you, and that you know that they do have some knowledge of what type of a bird they will be getting, and they understand that there are requirements that they're going to be required to take care of this bird and provide it with food and water and clean up and take it to the vet when the bird needs it, and then also pay attention to the bird.
Another thing that we have on our form, a couple things, is we ask if there are any children in the household and what the ages are. And somebody asked me why. I said, because you don't want to get a large rescue bird when you've got a two-year-old, because that could result in some bit fingers, because little kids want to touch, and
right.
and you've got to take that in consideration. And do you own a house or do you rent, and does your rental agreement allow you to have a pet?
Well, that is true, and these are all the things that must be considered. And we must unfortunately wrap up with Pet Lovers Lane for today, but I want to thank Dave Carroll for joining us here today on Pet Lovers Lane. He is the president of Rainbow Feathers Bird Rescue. And you can contact Dave at 734-422-5981. And they have monthly meetings in Garden City at the Methodist Church. And they have all types of member services. They have a monthly newsletter. And don't forget to visit them out at the Novi Pet Expo in November.
Yes, we'll be there.
And Dave, I just want to thank you so very, very much for joining us here today on Pet Lovers Lane and for sharing your knowledge.
I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about birds, which is probably something we could do for another 2 hours.
Yes, we could, and I'm very, very interested. And if anyone's interested, please check out his website, Rainbow Feathers Bird Rescue. You can just type that in, and it'll come up, and he has a wealth of information for anyone who's interested in having a bird as a pet or just learning
yes.
about a bird. And so it's a fabulous organization, and Dave and his members are doing wonderful things for the bird population right here in Michigan, right here in our own community. So we're very, very thankful to have him in the bird group right here with us in Metro Detroit, as we say. So if you're tuning in to Pet Lovers Lane today on WHFR 89.3 on your FM dial, we'll be back in a few minutes and we'll go through our pet calendar for September 2007. I want to thank all of our listeners for staying tuned to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morell, and we're going to turn now to our calendar for September 2007. I want to make a very special announcement about the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and we had them here in our studio last month talking about the Dearborn Animal Shelter, and they're offering a no-fee cat adoption program for senior citizens, which is fabulous. They have an overcrowding situation. They have an overcrowding situation that has resulted from many stray cats and an overpopulation situation in Metro Detroit. And there's an urgent need for cat adoptions at the Dearborn Animal Shelter due to possibly soft economic times in addition. And so they are going to waive the adoption fee for senior citizens who choose to adopt a cat that is 1 year or older. I highly recommend that. I've adopted one of my cats from the Novi Expo Pet Show, and she was an older cat. She was at least 3 years old, and she has fit into my household perfectly. She's very, very intelligent, and it took a little time to adjust to the other pets and to the environment, but she's a wonderful addition to our home. Senior citizens are also wonderful matches for adoptions, and pet ownership decreases blood pressure, and not only that, it improves cholesterol levels and feelings of loneliness for pet owners. So each cat from the Dearborn Animal Shelter will have all of its vaccinations, and it'll be sterilized as well. So give them a call at 313-943-2697. And the Dearborn Animal Shelter is located at 2661 Greenfield Road in the city of Dearborn. So I urge everyone to try it out. And so I also want to let our pet lovers know that there are wonderful pet events out here in Metro Detroit during the month of September. And just remember that September is National Chicken Month. And we ought to think about chickens too, because they're important and we don't want them to be slaughtered needlessly, as PETA would say. And September 15th is Responsible Dog Ownership Day. And it is also Puppy Mill Awareness Day. So keep those things in mind. And if you want a new pet, you should take care not to adopt a pet from that has come from a puppy mill, unless you get the animal from a shelter. There are so many animals out here at shelters that need loving homes. And September 22nd is Elephant Appreciation Day. And let's think about that one, too. Elephants are an endangered species, and we want to think about them and appreciate them for they have great memories, and they're very sensitive. They care about all the members of their herd, and they actually grieve for each other when another elephant passes away. So they're very, very sensitive creatures. Just to let you know about some of the events coming up around Metro Detroit, there is the Golden Retriever Rescue of Michigan, and they are sponsoring a meet and greet event on September 8th, that is Saturday. It's the same day as Pet Lovers Lane here on WHFR. It's going to be at Raining Cats and Dogs at the Frankenmuth River Place. For additional information, give them a call at 989-652-8100. Another fabulous event is sponsored by the Great Dane Rescue Group, and this is their 10th annual benefit auction, and that is also taking place on Saturday, September 8th in the city of Plymouth, and that will take place at Plymouth Orchards Cider Mill, and there's no charge. That is a free event. Their phone number is 734-454-1231. And let's not forget about the Greyheart Greyhound Rescue Group. They're going to be having a meet and greet on Sunday, September 9th from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And that will take place at the ACO Hardware at 37133 6 Mile Road in the city of Livonia. They have a website called greyheart.org. for additional information. And then there's an additional group called Michigan Retired Greyhounds as Pets, and they're holding an event at the Troy Days Meet and Greet booth, and that's going to be held in downtown Rochester. That's the city of Rochester at the Rochester Community Park. That will take place September 14th on a Friday from 4 to 10 p.m. and also on Saturday, September 15th from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. and also from Sunday, September 16th from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. So lots of activity out there for the retired greyhounds. There is a parking fee, and their website is rescuedgreyhounds.org, O-R-G. And there is also a meet and greet sponsored by the Mid-Michigan Boxer Rescue on September 16th from 12 noon until 5 p.m. And that will take place in the city of Novi at the Petco, located at 43480 West Oak Drive. There's no charge for that event, and their contact phone number is 248-735-4356. There's an annual pug picnic and reunion sponsored by the Michigan Pug Rescue Group, and that will take place on Sunday, September 16th in the city of Farmington at Shiawassee Park. There is a $7 charge for adults and $5 charge for children, and there's no charge for pugs. And they have a website called MichiganPugRescue.com. And the Greyhound Rescue Group is also having another event on Saturday, September 22nd from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. They're having their annual picnic and reunion in the city of Redford at Bell Creek Park at 27205 Mile Road. And they have a website, greyheart.org. The Irish Setter Club of Michigan is sponsoring an AKC specialty dog show Saturday, September 22nd, and also Sunday, September 23rd at 8 a.m. And that's also in the city of Chelsea at the Chelsea Community Fairgrounds. And that is located at 20501 Old US 12 in the city of Chelsea. And last but not least, the Chinese Crested Rescue Group is sponsoring a meet and greet. It's called Crest Care on Saturday, September 29th. And that will be in the city of Frankenmuth at Raining Cats and Dogs at the Frankenmuth River Place, actually. The phone number is 989-652-8100. And that's all we have time for today on Pet Lovers Lane. I'm Susan Morell, and Pet Lovers Lane is a news, information, and talk show about pets for pet lovers and for pets. And so I invite you to join me on the second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. right here on WHFR, the only station making waves, and also on the following Sunday right here on WHFR at 5 p.m. on the only station making waves.
You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM. We're making waves. This is WHFR Dearborn, non-commercial radio from Henry Ford Community College. It's time for Light from the Underground, Here's some music from John Doe to get us started. He's got a very fine new album out called A Year in the Wilderness, and this song is called The Golden State.